Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Zurian Show. The Zurian Show brings and shares powerful and useful information to our listeners. The show is great for those looking for the positive in the world. The goal of the show is to share great information on a number of topics and great subjects. Many of the subjects covered are not only great information, but helpful insights. The Zurian Show even shares some of life's greatest lessons from time to time. Thank you for listening, and now to our host, Zurian.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Zurian Show, and as always, we hope that we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and, of course, good spirits. As for us, we are doing fine. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk with a gentleman that is what I call a marketing and branding guru. The gentleman knows a ton of information about the subject. Also, for those of you that aren't the greatest writers, he's also really good at that, so he can help you along as far as getting your message. But developing your plan, working your plan, finding your niche, looking at the different things that you do so that your brand and your marketing actually also represents you and what you want to represent to the world or to your customers, clients, fans, or what have you, is what he does. And again, I don't want to take anything away from him because he's got a treasure trove of knowledge and experience, and he's also very modest, so he doesn't really like to brag about himself. But today, ladies and gentlemen, again, we have the pleasure of talking with Mr. Bob Graham, and we're going to talk about effective small business marketing and branding. And Bob Graham is the owner, founder, and CEO of Bigger Pie Strategies. And again, he's here to share his knowledge, his wisdom, and his experience in the areas of branding your company and marketing your company or brand. And without any further ado, Bob, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing really, really well, Z. How are you?
Oh, I'm always all right till I can do better.
You say that every time, and every time it impresses me. Hey, Z, if I can do something at the front of this before we get too far, because I don't want to forget, I want to make an offer to the folks who are listening to this, whether you're listening to it today or you're listening to it 6 months from today. If you email Bob at Bigger Pie Strategies, that's my email address, I will, and say ebook, I will send you at no charge an ebook called Easy Recipes for Effective Small Business Marketing. Easy Recipes for Effective Small Business Marketing. It's got 10 recipes, and I use the word recipes advisedly. First of all, Bigger Pie Strategies, if you're making pies, you need recipes. So that was the little branding marketing thing I did with it. But more importantly, I put recipes in there for how to create a really effective business card, how to stand out at a trade show or expo with a really good idea, a real simple thing. And all 10 of these recipes are things that you could do today, this weekend, and dramatically improve your marketing. And your total cost, if you did all the things, might cost you $3. It's really effective, easy recipes, things that you can do that will help you stand out with your marketing and your branding. So I wanted to get that out at the front end of this so I didn't forget. And I guess for the people who are going to hang up now and say I got something free, okay, you're going to miss out on some really good content that's about to come. And if you remember, Z, last time we talked, it's been a couple weeks, we talked on the air about more of the branding side of things. So today, if it's okay with you, I want to talk a little bit more about the marketing side of a business. Okay?
Yes, sir. We're good to go.
Okay. So my question to your audience right now is, what's the last marketing expense that you can remember? So I'm going to give you some examples of marketing expenses I hear from my clients all the time. And my clients, by the way, are small business people. They're everything from startups who haven't made a dime yet to companies who have made thousands, even millions of dollars. And with all of them, often it's the same issues. So wherever you are in that continuum, this is going to be useful. So think about for a minute your last marketing expense. It could be that you bought business cards. It could be that you put an ad in the program for your niece and nephew's summer play at the local church. one of the things I did. It cost me $50. And it was really a generous, it was really generosity and charity to support that organization. But it was marketing for my business all the same. It could be that you took out an ad in a major newspaper or did radio advertising, or you spent some money on your website, or you got T-shirts made up for your staff, or you held a luncheon for your top five customers. All those things are legitimate marketing expenses. What I often find when I'm talking to my clients is that they don't really keep track of their marketing expenses. So when I meet them, I say, well, how much have you spent in the last year on marketing? And they'll often say to me, well, I don't really spend money on marketing. And then I start going through this list and getting them to jog their memory, and it starts to cascade. First it's one item, then it's three items, and then it's like, well, what about the hole at the golf course that I sponsored, and they put up a flag with my company name? That's marketing. Okay, well, what about the fact that we are a sponsor for the local softball team? That would be marketing. And before you know it, these people who are telling me that they've spent no money on marketing have actually spent $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 on marketing, and they have nothing to show for it. And one of the real keys to effective marketing is tracking your expenses and tracking your results. Now, my wife has heard me say this several times, and she laughs at me every time I say it because she's like, you know, you're not really that smart. It's really a simple concept. You spend money, you need to see how much you make for what you spend. I agree with her, but sometimes the simplest things are the things that get overlooked most often. And for a lot of small businesses, when they talk about marketing, it's not that they can't afford to market. It's that they don't market correctly. They don't market efficiently. They don't market to their target audience. They market to the world at large. Or they take the ad out because someone calls and says, I'll give you a half-price ad in the local newspaper. And they go, it's half price. I got to do it. Well, no, you really don't. If it doesn't fit into your marketing plan or your budget, it's not a good use of marketing money. And if it's not going to yield direct results, one way or another, it's not a good use of money. So the next thing is, after you figure out what you've spent on marketing in the last year, it's really good to look at how much you want to spend on marketing in the next year. Now, I usually have a rule of thumb of you should spend at least 10% of your annual revenue on marketing. That's really not high. Most people would tell you it's probably closer to 20% is a good fit. And I know this because I've worked in affiliate programs and referral programs. I've run a couple of them too. And when you pay someone a 20% commission, you're basically saying this person's providing you a lead that you didn't have to go out and find. It's worth 20% to not do that work, not make that effort. So 20% would be even better. And of course, the more money you spend wisely on marketing, the more results you can have. It's a matter of using the money effectively. So you need to build a budget. Literally put a number on the paper. And if you're a business and you're going, well, I haven't generated any revenue, I can't really afford to market, I would tell you that if you don't have money to market, odds are you're going to be a business without money for a fair amount of time. Wouldn't you say that's true, Z? I know you've spent some money on your marketing. And
yes, I
would. Yeah. And I bet there are days when you've spent more on your marketing than you've generated, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm speaking the truth. It resonates with you, and I certainly know with my company, there have been times where I've spent money on marketing and the checking account has gone to a negative balance. But it's been the right opportunity, and I weigh it against what I'm doing and going, you know, if I have a table at this trade show and it costs me $500, how many clients do I need to generate to recoup that money? If the answer is one or less, it's a pretty good idea if those people at that trade show are a good fit for what I do. So, for instance, I have a booth each year at a trade show in Baltimore that's $150, which maybe it's a lot of money for some people. Maybe it's not a lot of money. It really depends. It also, I would tell you, when you do a trade show booth, you end up spending money for business cards and giveaways and tablecloths and all these things. It usually costs about double what you pay for the table. But I did this trade show the first year, and I generated a little bit of business, a couple hundred dollars here and there. The second year, I did it, and I wasn't going to do it because I didn't see the direct correlation, but the organizer called me and said, Bob, why don't you do it again? I really liked you. It was great. We'd really love to have you back. Okay, fine, I'll do it. So I spent $150 again. That led to me meeting a person who introduced me to the owner of her company, and the owner of her company bought a $8,000 project from me, a web development branding project. So my $150, now you could say it was $300 because I actually did it for 2 years, generated a direct return in the next 2 years of $8,000. So that shows every April. I'm in the black on that show for probably the next 15 years. That's the kind of equation I tried to do for, and it's not always that dramatic. That's a very extreme example. I've done other things where I ran a newspaper ad one time, and it didn't generate any direct business, except that I started to go to events, and people were saying, oh, I saw your ad in the paper. And that was a talking point. So the couple hundred dollars for that ad in the paper was worth it. When you talk about marketing, my time on your show, Z, is against my business hours. So there's a marketing cost for this time. Is it a hard cost? Do I have to write a check? No, I don't. But in my mind and in my budget, I've budgeted time, this hour, that, or 45 minutes, or however long we're on this call. This is marketing time for me. So I'm certainly looking for a return on my investment. Now, I know people are listening to this going, gee, the only reason he's doing it is to generate business. Well, yes, that really is, believe it or not, at the core of what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to generate business. But I'm doing it in a more subtle way than most people would. So you need to have a marketing budget, and then you need to have a plan, and a clear plan. And it can't be a plan that sits in your head. Because I've really found, and I've been guilty of this in the past, the plan in my head is really just ideas. When I put it on a sheet of paper and share it with someone, and I have a friend who's a great business advisor, I actually have a couple of friends who are great business advisors, and I share my plans with them, and they kick the tires on it. They say, Bob, this is crazy. Why would you do this? This is a terrible idea. This is a great idea. Whatever. Their input really helps me create a plan that's both effective and I'm capable of accomplishing. You know, one of the things I find when I talk to companies, if they have a marketing plan in place, it's often so grandiose that they could never accomplish it in a million years with $4 million. You know, they want to create, the next Facebook. They want to be on every major network. They want to be interviewed on NPR. Okay, I would like that too. You'd probably like that yourself, right, Z?
Oh, yeah.
But that's not realistic. More realistic would be, I want to be interviewed by the local newspaper. I want to be on the local radio station. I want to be a speaker at the Chamber of Commerce event, which for many of my clients, those local smaller activities generate far more business success for them than the grandiose things of trying to get onto the Oprah show. I had a client a couple years ago who was intent, got to be on the Oprah show. Well, first of all, if you think of the number of people you see on the Oprah show, it's a really small number. And if you look at how many people are trying, it's a huge number. So you could spend your entire marketing budget trying to get on the Oprah show, and I would argue that most small businesses that get on the Oprah show aren't going to have the greatest success anyway. It's a one in a million. It's like hitting the lottery. So if you have a marketing plan that's too grandiose or unrealistic, you're going to lead to unrealistic and negative results. And I often deal with clients when I first meet them and I talk about marketing, and they're like, marketing's a waste of money. I've spent money on marketing. It hasn't done anything for me. I'm really reluctant to spend money on marketing with you. And I say to them, okay, but how did you plan? What was your plan? Well, I just market. I know my business, I know my customers, and I market. That's not good enough. Now, if you show me a plan And I look at the plan and go, well, this is a great plan. This, okay, and did this work the way you meant it to? You know, did your Facebook posts lead to more likes? Did more likes lead to more interest in your company? Did more interest in your company lead to more people going to your website? Did more people going to your website lead to more phone calls or more people visiting your storefront? Okay, that's a great strategy. Those are the kinds of questions I'm often asking of my clients. Just throwing an ad out there in the local newspaper, just putting stuff on Facebook when you think of it, doesn't generate business. It's random, it's scattershot, it's throwing darts at a wall and hoping they stick. What I want to do, what I do with my clients is we try to figure out what the target is and we try to shoot darts at that target very, very specifically. And the way we know when we hit the target is we see results. So, for instance, I made that offer earlier, Z, about the my ebook, Easy Recipes for Effective Small Business Marketing. Just go to Bob at BiggerPieStrategies.com. It's free to you. Just send me an email, say ebook, and I'll send it to you. No questions asked. Now, why am I doing that? Very simply, I'm going to let you behind the curtain on this. I'm doing that for two reasons. One, I want to provide extra value to your listeners because I really like what you do, and you've been kind enough to have me on your program more than once. But second, I want to get those people who are possibly interested in what I'm doing to engage me, to send me an email, because when I send that ebook back, I can further the discussion. Now, I know, Z, you're saying, I can't believe he's saying this. He's totally let the cat out of the bag, right?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll keep going. But this is the reality. So I also can gauge the success of my discussion here. If I get 15 people that want my book, I know I've done a great job. If I get 25, I've done a fantastic job. If I get 3, I haven't done the best job I could do. If I get 0, I've really failed in what I've talked about today. And that's really good feedback for me. Now, you may be saying, well, if you don't get anyone to email you, you're going to be really upset and you're going to feel like you wasted your time. The fact of the matter is it won't lead me to believe I wasted my time. It will lead me to believe that I need to refine my marketing message. I need to refine what I'm talking about and the way I'm talking about it. And this is what I work with my clients on. You don't know that what you're saying to your potential clients is effective. And often we lose the sale, we lose the opportunity to help people because we're using the wrong words. We're saying the wrong things at the wrong time and people aren't responding the way we expected them to. And I can tell you it's very difficult for me because I'm in the situation right now where I own a business that does websites and I'm also the marketing guy for that company. You know, so I wear two hats. And there are days when I want to fire the marketing guy. And I've got to put my marketing guy hat on and say, hey, you know, we're still trying to figure this out. It takes a little time, blah, blah, blah. And it's really difficult. So I understand the frustration. And most people think if you launch a new website, suddenly the world's going to come to you. If you get new business cards, suddenly everyone's going to see your business card. Everyone you hand it to is going to say, oh, I want to spend money with you. Oh, where have you been? The reality is people will only buy from us when they're ready to buy from us. So I can put a million business cards in people's hands. I can go to every trade show under the sun. I can have the best website, YouTube videos, and social media. The fact of the matter is it doesn't matter at all until the person's ready for what I'm offering. And I see this time and again. I talk to people about working with them on marketing and branding, and they sort of disappear. And then 6 months or 9 months or a year, even in one case 2 years later, they call back and say, hey, are you still doing that stuff? I'm like, yeah, of course. I got to talk to you. I'm ready now. And so we as business owners tend to believe that everyone's just dying for what we have to offer. The fact of the matter is they're really not until they need it. And think about what's important to you right now. I was away over the weekend and I drove a Mini Cooper. And I fell in love with a Mini Cooper. And my wife, Laura, loved the Mini Cooper as well. So a week ago, I couldn't have told you if there was one Mini Cooper on the road. But this week, I can tell you every single Mini Cooper I've seen, the price of the Mini Cooper, what it weighs, its gear ratio, the tire size, the color scheme, its year, because I am totally infatuated with Mini Coopers this week. Now, next week, I may have gotten over my phase with Mini Coopers, and I may be infatuated with, who knows, an app on my iPhone, whatever. And that's how people are. And we forget that people have lives and that they're not just sitting at home waiting to spend money with us. And I think when you realize that, that starts to make you realize that you've got to find ways to reach them and you've got to be in front of people consistently. And that's why, you know, go to any antique store or any jewelry store and ask the owner what it's like, or an art gallery. And think of how many people go into an art gallery and don't buy the art. But then there's that person who comes in and sees a piece that they love, and they buy it like that. And think of, I know real estate agents, realtors, and they'll tell you that, you know, when the right person comes in, you know it immediately, they're going to buy the house. And so you've got to be available to people, and your marketing has to try to appeal to people and remind them that you're there. So on the day they're interested in what you have to offer, it's easy for them to remember you, to recognize you, to be able to call you. So in my, using my example, because I've gone this far with it, if you get my ebook, Easy Recipes for Effective Small Business Marketing, and I email it to you, then maybe 3 months from now, you look through the book, you do a couple of things, 3 months from now, you're talking to someone who says, I really need marketing help. Or your friend tells you, you need marketing help, and you go, oh, I know this guy. I heard him on the radio. I've got his ebook. I know I've got his email address. I should just email him and see if he can help me. That's what I'm looking for. That's the value of this program to me. So do I expect anyone to call me in the next 40 minutes and say, Bob, you're the perfect person? I doubt it. I'm willing, but here, I tell you what, I'll put my phone number out there because I'd like to be proven wrong. It's 410-497-7030. Again, that's 410-497-7030. Feel free to call me. I will take phone calls into the evening if I need to. But I'm not expecting that, because the reality is most people are not listening to this right now, or whenever they choose to listen to it, and saying, I've got to find a marketing guy right now. Many people aren't even, you know, they're only now starting to realize what marketing really is. Hopefully I've helped them to understand that a bit better. And they're starting to dip their feet into the concept of, what would it look like if I worked with a marketing professional? And that's a question I should probably answer, Z, if you'll indulge me for a minute. Most people think that a marketing person comes in and tells them what to do. And I know marketing people that do that, and they can be very effective. But I find that it works better when I work in collaboration with a client. So my goal is to find the gems of what my clients are doing and help them better articulate those, and to take the things that might not be as successful for them and sort of downplay them. And we do this in concert. And Z, you know, you and I have talked about your marketing, and you know that I don't believe that in any discussion we've ever had I've told you exactly what to do, right?
Right.
I've made some recommendations to you, but even then I've got clients who say to me, you know, Bob, that's a great idea, but I'm just not comfortable with that. Okay, that's fine. I'm not upset about that. My job is to find something that works for my clients that they're comfortable with. And that can be dicey at times. But that's the challenge I put in front of myself. So if you're looking at possibly working with a marketing professional, one of the questions I would ask if I were considering a marketing professional is, what kind of rapport do you want to have with your client? Another question I would ask, since I've gone this far with this, is where do you see your role with my company in a year or 5 years? And this is really an interesting question to me, because when I work with clients, my goal is to teach them what I can so that they can go off and do their own marketing. Now, if they want to engage me for 5 years, that's great. I'm happy to work with them. That makes my job so much easier. But the reality is most of what I can do I can teach a client, and they can do it themselves. It doesn't take forever. It's not real complicated. It's simple stuff. You know, I'm not telling my clients, hey, spend 4 hours a day on Facebook. That's just impractical. First of all, it wouldn't yield any business for you probably any more than 10 minutes would. And second of all, who's got 4 hours a day to be on Facebook? Well, I take that back. Plenty of us have 4 hours a day that we would like to be on Facebook, but we're wise enough to realize that that's probably not the best use of our time. Am I making any sense today, Z? Last time I know I was wound up, and I'm trying to unwind myself today.
Yes, you're making a lot of sense, and you're also telling people, too, that they need to dig their well before they're thirsty.
you're giving them information. Yes, and I would also say you raise another topic that is fascinating to me. And I was talking to someone last night, and this was a business owner, and he told me he was having a difficult time. And he was in some ways victimized by the government shutdown. He has a business that government workers go to, and because they're not at work, he doesn't have that business. And so his immediate reaction was to cancel all advertising and all marketing. Now, he's not a client of mine. He's a friend of mine. He just drew the line in the sand and said, no more. I'm not going to do any more of it until this comes back. And I said, well, here's the thing. Aren't you kind of shutting, what's the saying, spite something's your nose to spite your face, cutting off your nose to spite your face? He's like, what do you mean? I said, if you know that 30 to 50% of your business has gone away, don't you need to find a way to make up for that? And isn't marketing the most effective way to get more people in the door? And my suggestion was to him, put a sign out or post on your Facebook page, like a business I saw the other day, that they were having a federal employee sale. Because this was actually a restaurant establishment, and they were going to have an event where you could come in and get half-price beverages of your choice, of course, if you could prove that you were a government employee. Now, this is a company out in California, far away from Washington. But they found a creative way to engage the federal employees. And you see these things going on all over right now. People engaging federal employees because, first of all, one of the interesting things about all these federal employees who are off of work right now is that they've got time. You know, they're looking to fill their days. Many of them are prohibited from doing any work at all. So they're now home twiddling their thumbs. I would argue, as a marketing expert, if such a thing exists, oh, wow, I am modest. Wow, I'm so sorry. That's weird. If there is such a thing as a marketing expert might posit to you that a federal employee who's got some downtime might be a potentially good candidate for your business. And I would even, if you were my client and you were in the Baltimore, Washington area and you appealed to something that federal employees might be interested in, I might even encourage you to hold a sale, to have a discount for federal employees. Even if you were a roofing company, I would say to you, you know what? These federal employees, you've got roofing projects you want to do. The weather's good. You've got federal employees who suddenly have the ability to be home while you do the work, which is a pain. When you have to get a roof done, you really want to be there to see what's going on. So you could mix these two things up and say, hey, I'm going to run a 25% off for federal employees discount. And by the way, I'm going to go one step further. Now, this might take a little talent, and this is a little out of the box, but I'm not going to charge you for what I do on your roof until you're back at work. I got nothing from you, huh, Z?
No, that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
And that's an example of, to me, the right kind of marketing. Now, I will admit to you openly that there are some logistical aspects of that proposal that need to be worked out. How long would the how long would these government employees be out of work? Can I afford to hold on to not getting paid myself for the next 13 weeks possibly, or 2 weeks, or whatever it is? Would this actually appeal to my audience? But one of the things I like to do with my clients is sort of do this, what if we did something completely off the wall? Not crazy, but just off the wall. Something that makes people take notice. Because a lot of marketing and a lot of advertising and a lot of promotion is getting people to notice what you're doing. So here we have how many roofing companies in the Baltimore, Washington area? Z, I'm going to guess there are probably 300. So if you could be the one that goes out there and says, we're not going to charge you until you get back to work, and we're also going to give you a 20% discount, how much publicity might you get? Excuse me.
Probably quite.
You might get some TV coverage, some radio coverage, some newspaper coverage. You might get so much free publicity for that offer that that 20% discount and the delay on payment is well worth it. And, you, of course, you can track your results. You can track how much publicity it generates. And you can also track how many people does it bring in the door. Now, if there's a roofer out there, if you follow my advice here, I really would love to hear from you. I would love to hear that it worked or it didn't work or hear the limitations. And if you want me to flesh it out with you, even the better. And that goes for any kind of business. But when we talk about marketing, most people think that marketing is just the basic stuff straight down the line. I can do all that stuff. I like doing all that stuff. But I like to bring some creativity to it. I like to bring something special to the table. So my example there about the roofer is a little bit of insight into how I work. And I think, Z, you've talked to me and you've seen me in action. And that's not inconsistent with what I do when I'm working with people, correct?
Correct. You're all in.
Okay. So I think, what questions do you have for me, Z?
Actually, I was thinking about some of the stuff that you said, and it was making me think of some other things, but all positive, because you're definitely, you know what you're talking about, and you're walking the walk and talking the talk. But I was thinking about what John Maxwell says, and John, because you were talking about ideas, and people think they've got it down, but they don't. And I remember John Maxwell said that his best ideas are really not his best ideas until he shares them with other people. And in your case, you know, these people need to share their thoughts, ideas, and wants with someone like you so that you can actually fine-tune it and get them on course, because it's just like a plane. You know, if a plane is off course 99% of the time, but it's those corrections that they make again and again and again that gets them to their destination, and that's what you're doing. You're helping these business people or these people with their brand or their marketing to get to their destination, to get to the goal.
I like that. I never thought about an airplane that way, and having flown across the country twice in the last week, I'm glad you're telling me this now, not a week ago. that would have given me great pause to think that 99% of the time that they're not zeroed in. The other thing I should say is I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and I forgot who the guy he was talking to. It was Guy Kawasaki, who you may know. He was interviewing someone on a podcast, and the guy talked about the marketing wiggle. And he talked about you create an idea, develop your idea, and then you go out into the marketplace with your best guess, and then you wiggle it until you find the exact fit for your audience. And I really like that, because that is really the reality of marketing. It is not a straight linear path. There is no such thing as the perfect marketing plan, and I can tell you I've worked on marketing plans where we thought we had it nailed and it went a little haywire and we had to correct, and we've had others where I thought we were in real trouble and we got it out into the marketplace and it went off like gangbusters. And one of the things I notice very often is the more people that I introduce to a process of marketing, the more I talk to them, the more they share it with other people, the more insight you get. And it's often the person, especially employees at companies, it's amazing to me how many times owners discount their employees. But employees have great insights because, one, they know the customers. Two, they're not worried about all the issues that the owner is concerned with. And three, they want the business to succeed. So I like when I'm working with companies that have, you know, a number of employees, I like to talk to the employees about what we're thinking of doing and how it might work, and to really listen to their feedback. And it's often the person who's the quietest at the meeting who says one word or one sentence that changes everything. You know, I've had people say, well, you know, that's a really good idea. I like that, except for this thing. No one likes that word. And it's like, I'm sorry, what? And they go, well, no, we use that word. We avoid that word. I'm like, why do you avoid that word? Well, we've used that word for the last 8 years, and we realized that people really didn't like it. It's like, okay, thank you for saving me from myself. You know, and often my clients have that understanding of their customers. So my job is to really bring the tools of marketing to bear on what they're trying to accomplish. So they have the knowledge of their specific customers often. What I have is the knowledge of the marketing and the ability to mix the two, what they have, what I have, and together we can really make a business succeed and really see dramatic improved results.
Cool. Well, you have one lady that said, thank you. She really appreciates the book. She's going to ask for it. And she said, you truly, what is it? You're truly a team player.
Oh, wow. That's great. Whoever that woman is, it's not my mother, is it, see?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, excellent. I've got two women who really like me out there. Thank you, ma'am, whoever you are, thank you for the kind words. Wow, that is such a great thing to say about what I've said. I'm in awe of that comment. That is really something I will cherish for a long, long time. You know, I talked about what I was hoping to get out of this interview, and that was not on my list, but I'm truly humbled by that. So whoever you are, please, when you send me a request for that ebook, and again, that's Easy Recipes for Effective Small Business Marketing, a nice little ebook with 10 easy recipes on how to do marketing, send that email to bob@biggerpiestrategies.com, and I'll send you a nice little ebook. And if you say something nice about me, I'll even send you a nice note back thanking you. Maybe. No, I'm kidding. I will, of course. What else you got, Z?
Well, we're just about, well, pretty much we're out of time. Was there anything else that you wanted to add before we close?
No, I think I covered it all. I hope I gave some more insight, and certainly, you know, we're digging into a really deep ocean here when we talk about branding and marketing, so there's probably more to say at another date, and hopefully you see that opportunity present itself down the road.
Well, if when we do that show, it'll more than likely be in November because we're already booked for October.
That's fine with me. My calendar can get free whenever you need me.
Roger that. Well, we appreciate your humbleness and your availability. That's truly huge. And what you're also sharing with all of the listeners to help them to grow and to develop their businesses and their brands. So again,
thank you.
Ladies,
now, what you didn't say, Z, the one thing you didn't say is you really like me because you don't have to ask a whole bunch of questions, right?
What do you mean?
Oh, I mean, I just sort of, you just wind me up and I spin, right?
Hey, you heard me say this before. The listeners aren't listening to hear Z's melodious voice. They're listening to get content. You've got the content. I need to shut up.
Well, one of these days, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to interview you on your show.
Sure. What are we going to talk about?
Oh, we've got plenty we can talk about. You give me a date, and I will gladly interview you, and I think you'll share some real wisdom. I'm being serious.
No, not a problem. We'll work that out. I look forward to the
opportunity. Sounds good. Now you've shared it with your listeners, so you're going to be on the hook for it.
You know, I don't want to bore them. They are used to talking to exciting people like you.
No, I think you and I think I can make you come out of your shell and offer them some real value.
Okay, roger that, roger that.
Okay,
well, you know,
well, thank you, Z. I appreciate the opportunity as always.
Well, thank you, and as always, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that was Bob Graham with Bigger Pie Strategies, and again, someone you should truly take advantage of. You know, I'm trying to send as many people as I can his way myself. Again, everybody have a great day, a wonderful life, and as always, we wish you much success. Take care. See ya.